62.
Hey, is this thing on? I pressed the right button, didn't... Oh, there it goes. It's working now. I see the words. So how do I start it over? What do you mean this is a live dictation? What the hell is the point of recording something live? That's the stupidest shit I've... Hey, how do I turn this thing off? I can't turn it off right now? Huh? So what am I supposed to be saying here? Anything I want young people to know? What's that mean? Whatever I want it to mean? Huh. That's... Okay. The best taste in deviled eggs I ever had was garnished with this whiskey reduction sauce on top. Or it might have been a bourbon reduction sauce. To start with, you hard-boil a batch of eggs, then you... What's that? You didn't mean recipes? Well, I asked you what the hell you meant, but you didn't tell me. So you meant, like, life lessons and those sorts of things? Why didn't you say so? So I can delete this one now, right? It's permanent? That's stupid. Well, I don't know what to do with it either. You're the one that wanted me to do this. Just put it towards the end or something.
The days seemed to pleasantly fly by as Charles whittled on the porch. He was amassing a large number of little carvings and considered opening a gift shop, not that he wanted any tourist coming by or anything. He just wasn't sure what to do with the boxes and boxes of them. He ended up asking the monks to dump the spares in the dungeon, keeping only a handful of the best for when the kids came to visit later today. He'd spent yesterday happily visiting different parts of the monastery. The roof was accessible from the plateau, and his unicorn-horned tiger had taken to sleeping in a narrow strip of stone between the two spiritual koi ponds. It had catched the fish as soon as they magically poofed into existence and slurped them down real fast before going back to lounging. The banshee lady was haunting the graveyard and seemed happy. Charles couldn't really tell, but the other monks would try to bring her mountain flowers to appease the restless spirit, only to run away screaming in terror. Charles really liked that because he convinced them it required each screamer to take a vow of silence. Most of the rooms had gotten an upgrade, and now the monks slept on real beds, eating decent food, and were often seen accompanied by spiritual beasts. There were even carpets in some rooms. Xolia had portaled in briefly one day, her draconic image causing mass hysteria among the monks for an hour or two. She left in a huff when Charles pretended he didn't understand why she couldn't enchant the clouds into the shape of a playground. Sect leader Bao spent a lot of his time napping on Charles's porch, keeping him company. Charles had thought about it briefly and came to the conclusion that the game seemed to learn as he played, tailoring the experience to what Charles would like best. All in all, it was the most extended period of general happiness he'd felt in a long time, which is why he felt absolutely crushed when the comm came in to let him know the visit was cancelled. It wasn't a long call, and he didn't get a chance to talk to the great-grandkids. Just a quick sorry we can't make it. And Charles was left feeling just a little empty. Empty and irritated. That the snoring sect leader chose that moment to return wasn't Charles's fault, as it gave him an easy target. Yet the man's chubby, innocent face, one that made him look like a giant baby, held Charles back from his instinct to thwack anyone nearby. Instead, Charles found himself grumbling and pacing back and forth on his porch. That was when the newest female monk approached and asked a question.
"Grandpa, are you okay?"
To his credit, Charles immediately stopped grumbling when he heard the words.
"Grandpa?"
"Yeah, Grandpa. It's me."
It came out almost as a whisper. While the face of the player didn't look anything like his granddaughter, the voice was hers. Given that the game let someone change their appearance, it didn't take long for Charles to recognize that it was really her.
"Sorry, baby. Lily just called.
I was hoping to see Chirrut and Cherish again, but they aren't coming,"
Charles answered, dropping his stick. He moved to sit on the edge of the porch and patted the space next to him. She spoke as she joined him in sitting down.
I didn't realize you wanted them to come so badly.
Charles could only feel embarrassed someone saw his tantrum. He scratched his cheek.
I just miss you all. It's really nice when I get visits.
Yeah, I'm sorry I've been so busy lately. If the game company hadn't called, I wouldn't even have known.
The game company called you?
Charles asked.
Yeah, they found out about, you know, what happened. And with them making a big deal out of your gameplay, they just, I don't know, reached out. It's really nice of them.
Charles thought it was really close to a privacy violation, but he wasn't mad, given that it meant he'd get to see his granddaughter. That, and it probably gave her the opportunity to sue if she wanted to. Charles put his arm around her shoulders, and she leaned her head against him.
Even if it's not a real hug, it still feels like being close.
They sat in silence for a while, enjoying the moment. It was maybe half an hour later when his granddaughter started the conversation back up.
I'm glad I came here, Grandpa. Doing the monk thing is good for me. The martial arts help to feel a little tougher. I think I'll take it up outside the game, too. I just don't want to feel helpless again.
Charles nodded. He could tell she needed to talk, and he listened. She told him how she was a teacher and one of the students lived in a bad neighborhood, about how she would walk the little boy home every day after class. It was on the way back to where she parked at the school when she was attacked. She cried as she spoke, her voice thick with emotion as she got out all the details she could. The way the fella looked, how he sounded, what he'd said, how she felt. Part of Charles was relieved. He'd feared of something far worse. This was a mugging and a battery, which was still bad. While he didn't display it while he was talking to her, a part of him had grown cold.
No one hurts my little girl.
She talked about what happened after, how the AI units over criminal investigations couldn't find any evidence, and how the fella had picked
just the right spot to strike.
Charles felt sick. Anger flashes came and went repeatedly, but he pushed them down. The emotions cut him deep, seeing his baby hurt like this. But now was the time to listen, not the time to be outraged on her behalf. His little girl needed him for the first time in a long time, and he'd be damned if he wasn't going to sit right there and be there for her. Hours later, they spoke of lighter topics and spent time walking around. Charles introduced her to the tiger and the banshee. The underlying feelings of pain were brushed over with distractions. They talked and visited well into the night before she left to continue her training. Charles didn't sleep well that night at all, but woke in the morning feeling more determined than ever. The next morning, he logged out to prepare.